church then is made up of those who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You must be born again, not you must attend church. You must be born again. You must be alive in the Holy Spirit. You have to go from old creation to new creation. There must be the evidence of the Holy Spirit making you new.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Live in the Light. Thank you so much for making Live in the Light a part of your day. Hey, today we are beginning a series that calls us to look at the church. Pastor Robbie's in our studio, and as we begin today, I'm going to immediately turn things over to him to explain.
That's right. So well said, Craig. We are in the midst, of course, of Passion Week. We are preparing our hearts to remember the reality, the weight, the suffering, the cost of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We must discipline ourselves year by year to enter in, to try to draw near to Calvary, to imagine, to think upon, to be prayerful. And what better way to do that than to open up God's Word, which again, of course, describes the account so beautifully, but it's so sobering for us to join in and to see and to imagine, but then to feel all that Christ did. So that's what we're seeking to do right now. And we pray God would use that. We pray He would humble us, right, Craig, to humble us, but also produce in us such gratitude and thoughtfulness for what Christ endured that we might now live and be free as genuine believers in Him. So again, you're right. It's a heavy time, but such an important time. And so we're looking forward to getting to the Gospel of Mark in this very, very important week for the Church of Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. And amen. And again, this mini-series is called, get ready, The Church. It's that simple, and the title of today's message begins us off with, what is the church? If you can, join us in Ephesians chapter 2, and let's join up with Robbie in today's message.
So good to be together today. So good to worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. Wow, He must increase, we must decrease. I hope you can gather from the bumper that you just saw. The timing of this series that we enter into is both significant and necessary. And as we get started, I want to clarify the purpose of this foundational series on the church and what we hope to accomplish by God's strength and power and grace among us right now. We'll put those on the screen for us right now so we can see. Here is the purpose again of this series. Four main things we're hoping to do to biblically clarify what is the church. So this is a series that's going to be heavily based, obviously, on ecclesiology. Today we're looking at what is the church, moving on to who is the head of the church, finding out who the leaders of the church are, a series helping us to be renewed in mind as to the importance of the doctrine of the church. It's also going to be a call for sincere community in the church, examining again the biblical understanding of the 5G life, which really allows the flow of our discipleship in this church and to call people to that with most effective and fruitful living for Jesus Christ. We're going to seek to renew our commitment to the church. Lord willing, in this series, we're going to have a message on baptism, a message on the Lord's Supper, and a message on what it means to be a church member or membership in the church. It's a call to renew our commitment, excited how God will use that. And then lastly, we are seeking to be convinced why our priority must be the church. When you understand what the church of Christ is and the privilege it is to be a part of this life-giving, eternally hope-offering institution, there is no greater privilege, which means then it must be our greatest priority. When our theology is right, then our lives will be aligned with that as well. One of the things I'm really praying for too during this series, you will see again how beautiful the church really is by the design of God. I mean, I know, man, it's so easy to criticize the church. It's everyone does it. We're so consumeristic. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like him. I don't like her. It's so easy to sit back from the chair and just point and criticize. And yet again, the church is the bride of Christ. The church is God's design again to see the salvation of the gospel go forward. So in the end, biblically speaking, the church has issues. And yet it is God's vehicle to see people go again from death to life. So part of this series is praying for a renewal of love for the church and, of course, ultimately, the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And I want to be up front to the elders' desire to make it clear right from the beginning of this series, it is designed to lovingly and graciously, but clearly, to draw a line in the sand at this time. We believe it's a critical time for the church to hold up the church as defined in Scripture. That's what's so key, to make sure that our definition of the church is what God's definition of the church is. Because one of the great temptations that we've been facing in our day is to loosen what it means to belong to the church. Or many right now are redefining church on their own terms based on their own circumstances and own desires. So pastorally, so much grace right now, so much grace now, because there's been so much confusion. But pastorally, so much grace right now, and so much clarity we need right now, because we must allow the Bible to define our direction. So we are eager during this series to welcome people into the church right now for the first time. We are excited to call people back to the church right now. We're anticipating a stronger commitment to the church during this time, but also realizing this, also realizing that some may find out at this time that they're not as close to the church as they thought, and they might decide to choose a different path altogether. That's just a bit of reality. Jesus promised that would happen. But it's so important to draw the line graciously and lovingly in the sand to make sure we know which side we're on, the Lord's side or someone else's side or some other side. Without a doubt, this will be a time, and it is a time right now for the church of refining. It's a time of pruning, but we pray it's also going to be a time of tremendous renewal. I was amazed again this past spring, you trim back a hedge down to its kind of bare minimums. You cut it all back and you're there and it almost looks dead. It's not, it almost looks dead. Come back a couple months later, I remember I walked around the corner and I saw this bush that was trimmed down to the very kind of, to the very bottom, and all of a sudden it just, this explosion of fruitfulness on this bush. Just beaming, and just, I could not believe it. Took me aback, honestly, to say, I cannot believe how flourishing this thing is. I believe by faith, that's what the Lord is doing to his church right now. Pruning hurts, dead branches cut away. But in the end, the reason the Lord prunes is that he desires to bring life. And by faith right now, the Lord is pruning this church and every other church I know of, but I pray he's gonna do it to explode with fruitfulness in our midst. And I pray you will join me in faith to believe the same. Might be fewer, man, it's gonna be so much stronger. In the end, so much greater. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Hey, important time, amen? Important time. So let's pray. Let's pray for this series. Let's pray for this message right now. Father, together as your church, we pray to you, the awesome, holy, amazing God. Oh, Lord, help us. Use us right now, Lord. Would you teach us? Would you change us? We give to you this time. We give to you, Lord, this time in your word. We give to you this series. We pray, Lord, in this critical time, so much clarity, so much conviction, so much encouragement, so much faith, Lord, so much life. Do it. Father, I pray that now is the time. Now is the time that you are giving orders to release favor and joy and blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit upon your church. Father, I pray in your grace and mercy, now is the time that you will change lives in such an amazing way. You will renew hearts, Lord. You will cause us to see our greatest purpose as part of your church and the worship of Jesus Christ. Lord, may it be so. May it be so. Together we pray. So thankful for your church gathered today. So thankful for the men and women and children loving you in this way. So thankful to sing songs of praise. So thankful to greet one another in Jesus' name. So thankful to now be under the word. So thankful to be a people of prayer. So thankful with a mission for the lost. So thankful for all that you've entrusted us with. And we do pray as we sang today, Lord, the best is yet to come. May it be so. Not easy, but awesome, Lord. Not without pain, but so much privilege in the church of Jesus Christ. Maybe so, help us, Lord, help us, help us, help us. Weedy, needy yet expectant, oh God, weak and yet, Lord, filled with faith. We pray this together in Jesus' name. If you agree, let me hear you. Amen, amen. All right, here's where we start today. The fundamental and foundational question of what is the church? Today is both a doctrinal introduction and also a biblical clarification. There's going to be much of this content coming through this whole series because in a sense, this is an introduction doctrinally to the church, but we're going to take what we can and bite off what we can chew at this point in today's message. So we're going to answer this question, what is the church, in three specific ways today. Answering the question, what is the church, in three specific ways. Here's answer number one to that question, and his point number one is this: the church is both visible and invisible. The church is both visible and invisible. So one of the ways that theologians have categorized the church is in two descriptions. On the screen for you, you can see it here. The church has been described again, the visible church is this: the church as Christians on earth see it. So I want you to look at this. I want you to think about it. I want you to digest it. Just think about that. The visible church is the church as Christians on earth see it, compared to the invisible church, which is the church as God in heaven sees it. Now just think about those two and the difference. The church as Christians on earth see it, and then the church as God in heaven sees it. The main point of these descriptions is that only God knows the true heart. So therefore, only God knows the true church. For example, we gather today. We gather today in this building, right here in this room, in overflow, right? This is an expression of the visible church. Someone walks in, they look around, they say, these people obviously make up the church. They walk in this room, hey, look, there's the church. These people, again, are the church. However, God sees it differently. God sees it differently in that God knows that not everyone here is actually a part of his church. There's no way that every single person here at Overflow, whatever, me watching online, that every single person is physically here, but there's no way every single person is actually part of the true church. Just because someone attends church doesn't make them the church. Or just because someone watches online doesn't make them necessarily part of the church. This is why in this shocking statement, but a statement of reality, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says to the people who said, how come we know? We did this, we did that for you. And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Just because you do certain things and show up in certain places doesn't mean you're actually in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The point then, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, the Lord knows those who are his. You see, so therefore, the pure definition of the church then, the pure definition of the true church is the community of all true believers of all time. The church then is made up of those who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, you must be born again, not you must attend church. You must be born again. You must be alive in the Holy Spirit. You have to go from old creation to new creation. There must be the evidence of the Holy Spirit making you new, that you have gone again from death to life. You must be born again. Everyone who's born again by the Holy Spirit, saved by grace, again through faith, those are the people that are part of the true church of Jesus Christ. Alistair Begg, he said it this way, a quote for you on the screen. He said this: membership is not a matter of external attachment. Rather, true membership in the church is spiritual union. Now look at that. Think about that too. See, us showing up today is an external attachment just on a superficial level. But there must be more than that. There must be a spiritual union, must be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ.
We are taking a little break today mid-message to say thank you. Thank you so much, listeners, for being by our side for the past 16 plus years. We are so grateful to your commitment in prayer and in giving, and there's no way we would be here without you. Live in the Light believes strongly in radical transformation by the revelation of God's truth. And if this is you, we want to hear from you. No matter how long you've been with us, we want to hear how God is working in your life. Shoot us an email at litlcustomersupport@hopeoakville.ca. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or check out our website at liveinthelight.ca. We can't wait to hear your stories. Let's get back to today's message.
So only those who are truly saved in Jesus Christ are part, again, of the true church. But let me be clear here, too. This doesn't mean that every conversation we have today, we're walking around doubting someone's salvation. That may not be super helpful, right? But it does mean this. We're not naive enough to think that just because someone is here physically means that person is here spiritually. And by the way, amazingly, in our day, this is still a very, very serious danger for so many people still in our nation today. There are so many people sitting in different church pews all across this land thinking as they go to church, stand up, sit down, say some prayers, do some things, that makes them part of the church they're going to heaven. So many people are still in that place of such serious danger because they've been taught it's what they do that saves them as opposed to what Christ has done for them. Still in our day, that's happening with so many. Sometimes entire church denominations, religions are filled with such teaching and false understanding. Also, any movement that claims that they are the one true church, maybe some of you grew up in such a setting. You were part of the one true church. Only you were saved and only your church were full of people who are saved. That is supremely arrogant and biblically wrong. Anyone who claims that, you don't know the heart. And in fact, so many of those situations, you have people who are taught such a thing, so they're saved by works, not by grace. The point is only God can judge the heart. But this is why here at Hope Bible Church, we are so passionate about truth leading to life. We are so, even in this message already, so passionate about if you're saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, prove it with the fruit of your life that is only produced by the Holy Spirit. Because those are the men, women, and children that, again, are evidencing the reality of Christ living through them. That is why also baptism as a believer, is so powerful. Baptism as a believer is proclaiming without my reality within. I'm proclaiming the symbol of under the water, coming up out of the water. Christ saved me. And now I'm testifying to the reality. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. More to come on that later on in the series. What is the church? The church is visible and invisible. Here's the second answer to this. The church is explained through images. The church is explained or described through images. So when you really think about it, okay, the church and its nature is amazing. The nature of the church is so beautiful that those of us alive in Christ, we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Just astoundingly awesome and beautiful. When you also think about it, the church also carries a profound mystery. That's what the Bible describes the church for us in images or metaphors to help us understand. There are several images in Scripture. We're going to look at four of them this morning together. They will be on the screen for you as well. Let's go through this right now. What are some of the images that describes the church in the New Testament? First one, the building of Christ. The building of Christ. So turn in your Bibles right now to Matthew chapter 16. And by the way, I've been easy on you so far this message because now I'm going to make you work, all right? So let's make sure we do this together. Matthew chapter 16, we'll be turning to several passages, and I'm going to insist that you join me on doing that because we are students of God's word and we want to learn and grow together. And several passages you can highlight and you can make sure you remember that they are there. Matthew chapter 16, of course, first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 16, look at verse 18. Now, again, we're focusing on the church described as the building of Christ. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus says this, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's Jesus doing here? Notice, Jesus is building something. It's called his church. Jesus is building his church. And when Jesus decides to build something, no one and nothing is going to stop him. In this building, Jesus himself happens to be the cornerstone. Turn to Matthew 21, verse 42, just a few pages to your right. Matthew 21, verse 42. Listen to that sound. Praise the Lord. No iPhone can do that for you. Love it. Matthew 21, verse 42. Notice, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." The stone, Jesus the stone, that the builders rejected, that so many people did not believe in, they tossed aside. The people, the stone they rejected, he has become the very cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is the stone that the church is built upon. Jesus is the stone which all others are measured upon. And because Jesus is the cornerstone, ready? Because Jesus is the cornerstone, this building will not fall. This building will never be declared condemned. This building will never fail. Jesus himself is the cornerstone. Hey, church, be encouraged. Anyone who predicts the demise of the church, no. I predict their demise, the church will continue on, right? It's not a chance the church will ever fall into ruin, ever. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what leaders fail. Doesn't matter what people give up on. Doesn't matter what the culture says. Doesn't matter what the media says. The church will never, ever falter or fail simply because of this truth. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Now think about it. You know, clap for that, clap for Jesus. Amen. I love that. Amen. Amen. And think about it. Next week, the whole message, Lord willing, who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is the head of the church is perfect. The head of the church is omnipotent. The head of the church is the creator of all things. The head of the church is sovereign. The head of the church is absolutely awesome. Therefore, if that's the head of the church, I like the church's chances. Which is why we are still here 2,000 years later and all the history that has passed and the church of Jesus Christ goes on in every corner of the planet, not because of us, because of him, because he is the cornerstone of the church. Amen. Amen. Good day to clap. Jesus, we love you. We clap for you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, all right? Turn right, Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go there together. Make sure you pressure your neighbor to turning with you, all right? Positive peer pressure today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. That's it. Next service, I'm starting to wear glasses. I can barely see anymore, so I'm doing it. From now on, next time you see me, I'll be wearing glasses, all right? Here we go. All right, so next week. Yeah, have them back there. I'm going to get them for next service. It's just the way it goes. All right, but I can just read enough right now. All right, so Ephesians 2, verse 19 says this, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." Notice that. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ, Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Such great verses to have highlighted and just acknowledge right there. Listen, "in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." That's awesome. "In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God." That's awesome. "A dwelling place for God by the Spirit." So consider what we're learning here. The church is a building. But not just any building, it's a temple. But not just any temple, it's the dwelling place for God by his Spirit. That blows me away. Just let's not rush through that. Just think about that. The church is a holy temple set apart as the dwelling place for God by his Spirit. That's you and me alive in Christ. A dwelling place for God by his Spirit. That's so awesome. Notice it says there in verse 21, joined together grows into a holy temple. Now, what do we learn there? The church is always increasing in size. You see that? The church is always increasing in size. You're like, well, I don't know. I'm in the church in Canada. It seems to be shrinking. No. The true church never shrinks. Have you heard about what God is doing across this globe and too, in like Africa and South America and Asia and beyond? I mean, the media will never tell you that. The church is always growing. It's always increasing in size. It's right there in the text. Increasing in what kind of size? Holiness. See that? Into a holy temple. The church is always being sanctified. Right now, man, this pandemic, it's being used to sanctify and increase in holiness. Again, that's the purpose of Christ over his church. Consider this then too. This isn't some haphazard last minute plan throwing bricks into a pile. This is the very design of God. The church isn't some empty, boring museum. This is God's house and it's alive with him. So this is where this doctrine fuels my fire, right? No matter how many times you hear people say, oh, how weak or how broken down the church is reported to be. No. The church cannot be stopped, okay? Because militaries will crumble. Governments will crumble. Companies will crumble. Google will crumble, okay? Nations will crumble. The church will never crumble because Jesus Christ is building his church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. We don't have to wonder about that. Just look back in history. It's been proven again and again and again. Nations rise and fall. Militaries rise and fall. Companies rise and fall again. Governments rise and fall. And the church carries on. Aren't you so glad you're part of something that will never, ever be able to be diminished or broken and part of something that will last forever? That is the reality and the truth of the glory of what it means to be part of the building, which is the church of God. Again, praise the Lord for that. Jesus Christ is building his church. Nothing will ever stop him. Nothing. Here's the second image. It's the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 1. Not even making you turn anywhere. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Or 22 and 23. Ephesians 1 and 22, 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Notice, Christ is the head of the church. And the church is his body. So this means then that Christ holds authority over his church. This means that Christ determines direction for the church and the destiny of the church. This also means here, though, that as his body, we have important and specific roles to play. Now just stop there for a second. So much awesome theology today. Christ is the head, we are the body. The body is important to the head. The body has functions to play out, again, for the head. That means every single person alive in Jesus Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. Listen carefully. You have a God-ordained and God-given role to play in his church. Are you? Are you fulfilling the role that Christ has given to you as you have been privileged and honored to be a part of his body belonging to the head of the church, Jesus Christ? There are no exceptions. Every single person alive in Jesus Christ has a part to play in the body.
Thanks for joining us today, listeners. We hope you join us again next time here on Live in the Light.